This is the Roaring Elephant Podcast. And as opposed to Dave last week, I'm trying to not emphasize a single word in there, which is probably very bad for marketing, but I thought it was a fun thing to do.
Yeah, it sounded very dull. It sounds like you were possibly having a stroke. I don't know.
No, we're just talking, we're talking about dull stuff today. It's going to be about dull, 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 old style, nobody interested stuff.
No, we're going to be talking about the future of the world, which is cloud, obviously.
So the world is going to hell officially. Although clouds are not hell, I guess.
Wow.
That didn't work out. That didn't work out.
That went fast. Yeah. So we are indeed talking cloud, but we're talking cloud market share. And we are doing this through the lens of Jon and his in-depth research. Inspector Jon, clue us in.
If you're not on YouTube here, you're going to miss out, because I made a thing. At some point, I was reading an article about how one of the hyperscalers got X amount more growth this year, whatever. And I kind of noticed that they only compared this year and last year or something like that, but there's never any longer term thing. So I kind of went on the internet, and if you're watching on YouTube, these are all the different things I've grabbed together just to figure out where they came from. So there is some actual research happening here, which is kind of special. And I'm going to put this in the show notes as well, so you can look it up. Obviously, this is stuff I gathered from the internet. I didn't go into their company financial results, because I'm not that desperate yet. So take with a grain of salt, but I do think that the way it moves, the changes can be somewhat reliable here. And I was able to actually group everything from 2017 to 2023. Which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, which I think, as far as I know, is the longest chart you can find on the internet anywhere at the moment.
Yeah, like you've done a great job with this, because we've touched on this kind of topic a few times over the sort of similar sort of length that this chart's run for, but I've never seen this information all represented in one place, and it's not dollars, or it's purely done as, you know, percentage market share. And I think that there are some genuinely really interesting trends here.
For me, it's more of a confirmation of what I thought was happening, but people continue to say I was wrong.
Okay, so let's start there then. What was your suspicion that everyone was telling you were wrong that has been proven by this?
AWS is not growing.
Yeah.
And of course, again, this is market share. So as the market grows, they all go up. So this is a misleading chart on that part, because it should all be kind of tilted a couple of degrees to the upside. But if you just look at how much Amazon has as a market share, they don't grow. They don't grow as fast as the market grows. They just kind of keep even Stevens. And lately, in the last couple of years, actually are trending downwards a little bit, which I always found to be correct. Because for me, Amazon is huge because they were the first. Mm. For years, they had the first, the first mover advantage or something like that. And they haven't capitalized on that. And of course, there's some years missing there, because Amazon is older than 2017. So there was some growth to get to this point, obviously. Mm. And they're still dominant. I mean, they're 30%. That's still the highest at the moment. But give it a couple of years and you'll see other lines kind of encroaching on that. And it's amazing, because once you have that huge installed base that of users, of customers, of why not spend more time on this? And we've talked about this on the podcast before. Amazon is a greengrocer. It's a supermarket. The cloud is coincidental. So for them, as long as it doesn't lose any money, I guess nobody cares that much, because the main money coming into Amazon is not from cloud at all.
I'll ignore the greengrocer comment. it is
Don't get your greens from Amazon. That would be a bad idea.
So you're right. Like, that is probably genuinely the most interesting thing on this graph, is the fact that AWS is around about mid-30s, or just a bit below that, just low 30s percentage of cloud provider market share for 7 years. Like, it doesn't it doesn't go much lower than 30, and it doesn't go any higher than about 34% over that entire stretch, which is wild, because I think if you were to ask the average kind of tech person, they would probably, and which is probably what you were alluding to earlier about people telling you were wrong, they would probably have this kind of general sentiment, Amazon's mm-hmm. the major player.
And Amazon's the future.
Yeah, and then depending on that person's biases, honestly, would be where they switch Azure and GCP. Like, some people would say, GCP is probably the next biggest and Azure's tiny. Or some people would say the correct sort of order, which actually Azure is the next largest and GCP is the smallest of the three major CSPs. But the interesting thing about the next most interesting thing beyond the AWS thing is that it's Azure that is the one that has grown the most over the 7 years, going from 13% of market share up to just under 25% of market share. Which, as you say, like, we're talking about this when obviously the market has also been growing through this 7 years. So this looks like a very gentle slope of growth, but actually behind the scenes, this must have been an absolutely astronomical, like, growth spurt through this 7 years, and it's still going.
Yeah, and it's very consistent as well. I mean, the thing with Google, for example, is it kind of has its ups and downs. Well, Azure is also going up and down, but then if you just put a trend line in there, it's trending upwards. Mm. And give it another, 2 years, they should get over Amazon.
Which is wild.
Azure hasn't been around that long. I mean, I think 2017 is the kind of the time where they started.
It's got to be around that sort of time, yes. I don't remember the exact, but...
I moved to the Netherlands in 2011, and then I started a public cloud for your universities here. Mm. And Azure was then still on the old red something called, and it took about 2 years after that. So I think, 2015 was like the first bird cries of Azure coming up. So this is 3 years later, already having 15% of the market at that point, and growing like cabbage.
Yeah. And then, I mean, GCP is, it's kind of a bit there, really. For all of the...
noise they make.
I mean, this is just another reminder that Google is just an advertising company. It is just an ad revenue company. It happens to have a lot of other tech stuff wrapped around it, but at its core, it's not a cloud computing company. And you can see that from this kind of graph. And for those that aren't on YouTube, you know, it started around 6-ish%, I would say. And it's now, if I was generous, maybe 11% market share. And it's, it's got some ups and some downs. You could, if you were feeling generous, you could say that the trend is vaguely upwards, but it's such a slow slope that, you know, it's closer to flat than it is it is going up and to the right, for sure.
Especially if you notice that in 2015, they were already kind of at that 10% mark and then dropped down again, which in my opinion was especially people noticing Azure exists and being a little bit more stable, because one of the biggest problems for me personally with Google is their APIs just aren't trustworthy. Anything you build 6 months onwards, stuff doesn't exist anymore, it's broken. And for a small startup, that's fine because you're changing a lot. But if you're a bigger company, you want stability. Google is just, in my opinion, again, personal opinion, opinions vary, not something that I would look for. And Azure on that part, for all the negative things you can talk about Microsoft, I mean, they're under trust investigation again, whatever. But at least what you can say is it's their focus. And that has brought a lot of companies in, I think.
Yeah. So maybe you're right there. I think the other there is an interesting sort of blip that happens around end of 2018, early 2019, which is like there is another line on the graph, which is other clouds, and other clouds have a fairly significant spike during that time, and then are flat for a bit, and that coincides with the depression of GCP. Now, other, in my mind, you know, I start to think of, obviously there's a bunch of cloud providers out in APAC that are very location specific. We'll come on to Alibaba next, but there's a bunch of smaller ones out there, some of which aren't that small. But I was trying to think of one that might have taken a chunk out of GCP. Okay, so my guess, and it's a terrible guess because I hate it if it's right, but my guess was, is it something to do with Oracle Cloud?
Oracle and IBM.
Oh God, yeah. Which okay.
Fortunately, didn't have a long time at their height. But yeah, those are a couple of years, and I try to add them to the list, but it's just after the 2019 years, there's absolutely no data to be found anymore for those two.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it does make sense, because I do remember that being around the earliest stages of there. And like a lot of cloud companies that were like with their early launch, they're desperate to get people into their data centers. So the rates are incredibly attractive. I think about a month ago, I saw like the first advert for OCI, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, that I've seen in, God knows, at least five, six, 7 years. And I was honestly a little bit surprised that it was still around and still a thing.
Very surprised that they aren't more successful, because when that started, I kind of saw Oracle as a potential player in this market, considering on their installed base they have, their customer loyalty, whether forced or not forced, I'll leave in the middle. But you can say whatever you want, Oracle is everywhere. So them having a public cloud offering, they're worldwide already, I kind of saw they have everything to win here. But then the typical Oracle, is it hubris? Is it arrogance? I don't know. They just chased people away, because I was working at Microsoft at the time. And we just saw customers first not wanting to talk to us at all, because now we're an Oracle customer, so we're going to put it there because they're trustworthy. And then 2 years later, came back in droves. It was really weird. Very surprising. And not surprising.
And then the last line on the graph is Alibaba, which is
I'm going to say here, use with a pinch of salt here, because it was hard to find enough numbers for Alibaba, and a couple of those I extrapolated. I wanted to keep them up to at least have one of the Eastern ones in there. But that's the one I have least confidence in the numbers.
Yeah, but you know, generally speaking, It's even flatter than GCP is, and it's hovering around the 5-ish%, which again, you've got to remember that this is as the market grows from, you know, since from 2017 through to basically end of 2023. So that to still be a consistent 5% of market share, that's got to be absolutely phenomenal growth in terms of...
But almost entirely in China, of course.
Yeah,
thing there, they have the unfair advantage that the other hyperscalers are being boycotted more or less. So if you want to have cloud in China, you kind of have to go to Alibaba or Tencent.
Yeah, I was going to say Tencent's the other big one. But the...
Tencent isn't really, here because I couldn't find any numbers.
Yeah. So the really... So for you, the big thing was your sort of thought around AWS basically being flat for the whole 7 years. For me, the interesting thing is like other cloud providers and how that is actually, like, that's the area that is most cannibalized by the growth of all of the others. You know, other cloud, which sort of makes sense. Like back 2017, you know, crikey, everyone had their own cloud Gold provider. Rush. Like it was, yeah, exactly. Like there was, was it, what was the, I know IBM have bought multiple cloud providers at this point, but what was it was soft something, wasn't it? Was it?
I know Rackspace was in the clouds for a while.
Yeah.
There were a lot of small ones.
Yeah. But like that, Rackspace was a big, like, pre-cloud and then tried to your point, like, get into cloud, but never really made it. But like, there were so many cloud providers back then, and they all, you know, have just been chewed up and spat out throughout that time.
Well, not all. I mean, REST still has the same market share as AWS have. And I think that would be nice if that stayed that way, that a third of the market just being very specialized niche kind of things, and then the other 70%.
With the chance for one of those to then explode and become
exactly. It's a major feeding ground.
Yeah, it's
an incubator, I'd say. Yeah, sure.
I really do worry, though, that... And like the trend has leveled off the last maybe 2 years more than it did earlier on, which again speaks to the earlier gold rush times, and like maybe by end of 2021 things had stabilized a little bit, and like other cloud providers found their niche and or niche depending on how you think about it. But I must admit I fear a little bit that might not be the case, and that the kind of the cannibalization of growth will continue to be at the expense of the other smaller cloud providers, because it's got to be, it's difficult enough to compete in a space when you've got lots of other relatively equally matched organizations, but when you've got, you know, the three dominant players / two dominant players, maybe three, maybe four if you include Alibaba, like, and everyone else is just, you know, compressed into around about, it's just less than a third of the market. That's got to be tough.
Yeah, but I also think it's easier for the REST to lose customers, because the customer loyalty or vendor lock-in, wherever you want to take it, if you're on one of the big hyperscalers, you probably have a big deployment, and it's very hard to move away from that. If you run on the smaller cloud and you have like five VMs running somewhere, it takes a weekend to move it over to another cloud. So that's why I think Amazon is still keeping steady, and the other two are only growing, but definitely not going down anymore. And the REST, well, smaller clouds have smaller deployments, so it's easier to go away. And it's also a lot easier to miss something there, because again, they're pretty niche kind of things. They won't have a Kubernetes as a service, for example. And if you're going to microservices, you're going to go to one of the big clouds there. So yes, the cannibalization, I think, I said earlier, I would like it if it stayed like this, a third of the market being in kind of more niche things. But that will probably go down to 10%, I would assume, where you only have something like very secure or very something reason to be not in the hyperscalers. The one thing that I think is going to shake this up in the next couple of years is, what do you call this again? European clouds. No, it's European clouds.
Data regulation.
No, not data. Having clouds in certain geographies. There's a word for that. I think I had it in my mind and then you talked and I forgot it.
Not sovereignty, no?
Sovereign clouds, yes, thank you, sovereign clouds. That's something that's going to happen. And I know that Amazon and Azure as well are trying to kind of make that, faking it by having, we will put a data center in Germany and that's our European cloud, which is still being governed by an American company, so it doesn't mean a thing. Mm. But at some point, I'm kind of hoping the EU is going to get their shit together and just not build a cloud, because government shouldn't make a cloud, but invest some kind of investment fund. Wait, they do it for HPC. If you look at high-performance computing, there are huge budgets centralized at the EU level that each country then do proposals. You have this money, that data, stuff like that. So that exists for that level. Having a cloud local becomes more and more a problem, because yes, governments, public sector is moving to cloud because they kind of have to, because it's hard to get hardware these days. But they have problems, and at some point all the low-hanging fruit of things, okay, it's a bit private but it's okay because it's kind of public website stuff anyway, that'll get dried up and they will still have a lot of data that cannot go there. So that is where I think a new player should kind of come up, whether it be a state-operated one. I hope not, because that would not be a good thing. But no. Who would do it? I don't know. And maybe one of the gray ones there can stand up and do this, but I would that would actually be my 30% rest, a conglomerate of kind of niche sovereign cloud things that have a reason to survive because they are in that country. And if you add all the countries in the world up, you'll get a certain market share that I hope should be in the 2030 range. So that is where I have my hopes. That being said, the world is a capitalist mess, and this is all very nice thinking of me. But
yeah I think the other challenge with that vision is it's not so much the cloud infrastructure itself. I think that is something that very much could live in that world, in that space. But as we both know only too well, the amount of organizations that are purely using the services that the cloud provider provides, and that's all they ever need, is actually, I mean, if you're starting off, you can probably get by with it. But as you become, a more complex organization, you'll start using things from other organizations, other vendors. And there's a huge, I mean, if you look at any of the, whether Google or Amazon or Microsoft, you look at their marketplaces and they are, sprawling with offerings from, thousands of other different organizations that you can just spend your commits with those cloud providers and, take on board that particular service. And the challenge with all of these individual sovereign clouds is, unless, and again, this is now getting even deeper into the hope casting, wish casting sort of, I wish the world worked like this, which it doesn't, but unless you could get a situation where all sovereign clouds would sign up to a standard that, like, this is how all sovereign clouds will operate and all that sort of thing, so that they could all take on the advantages of that wider software ecosystem, that wider service ecosystem.
That's why I hope the EU will step in with some regulations there.
I genuinely love the idea. Like, I work for a SaaS company, and like we would never consider deploying on another country's sovereign cloud, because it's too much of a special snowflake for us to provide a service within that cloud. But if there was a common, and I'm sure that we are no different to a lot of other organizations, but if there was a common standard that you just say, well, we're adopting standard blah for that all sovereign clouds use, and you just adopt these quick, easy APIs or however it works, and everything just works, then that would be amazing. But just governments cooperating, even EU cooperating, I just don't see it.
Proving you wrong.
Yeah.
This has been going on for a couple of years now. This is a European initiative to have kind of a federated data cloud-ish thing happening, not building it, but kind of designing it. It is happening. And apparently, look at that, 300 plus members. Yay. There is hope.
Okay. Well, not convinced. But I am convinced that we have not heard the end of this story. And if the trends continue, I think you're right, Jon, like 2 to 3 years time, when if it does continue this way, Azure crosses over and has a larger market share than AWS, I think that will shake a lot of people up.
Yeah, that will accelerate a couple of things, I would expect.
Well, with that, unless there's anything else from you.
All talk that.
Then that is all the time we have for today. You can support this podcast by becoming a Patreon. Every contribution really does help. We are on YouTube. You can like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, do all the YouTube things. You can also go to roaringelephant.org for a link to our Patreon page and for more information about this podcast. And please do send any feedback you have to podcast@roaringelephant.org. Until next time, my name is, look at the pretty graph, Dave.
And I am investigative journalist, Jon.
And we look forward to talking to you next week.
Goodbye.
See you then. It should be investigative journalist and cloud archaeologist.
Digging into clouds, that's a dangerous profession.
You do it for aeroplanes. You just like sail past with your shovel.
Okay, not a Boeing then.
No. I mean,
although they have an open door policy.
Yeah, exactly. Oh dear.